and welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm sorry I didn't seem to want to look that surprised, but I'm as surprised as you are. I am back now on Highly Questionable. Brief free agency, it was a whole thing, but now I can come back. And here's an essay to tell you why. I want to explain it to you with a poetic tapestry to get things started today on Highly Questionable.
This is where I'm supposed to say, April Fools, but I think you figured it out. Because my God, Dan, you think you could have sold it a little?
That was maybe terrible.
Very obvious that wasn't real. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. Mina Kimes. No, Dan. Still, let's get started.
Even I would not have fallen for that, and that is telling.
What do you make of Roy Williams' decision to retire?
So Roy Williams, head coach of UNC, decided to retire today. I think he's going to announce it officially at 4 p.m., which means this could be an elaborate April Fool's joke, but I'm just going to take it at face value that it's real. Obviously, he had a great career, 33 total seasons, 903 wins, 3 NCAA titles. You don't need me to read off the numbers. You all have Google, but a very accomplished career. But one of the most interesting things about this announcement is the speculation or some reporting that the reason that he decided to retire, he's 70 years old, so it doesn't make no sense at all. But people say that this wasn't something he was necessarily discussing recently until this decision was made. And the thing that it seems that made him want to do this is this change in college sports that we're seeing with things like the transfer portal and the name, image, and likeness rights that athletes are allegedly going to get sometime soon, maybe, which is certainly very interesting. And I'm interested to know what you two think about that.
So Roy Williams entering the retirement portal, I guess, like that does feel a little like unfrozen caveman lawyery insofar as your new world frightens and confuses me. This isn't how I know it to be. And a lot of 7-year-olds in college basketball can maybe say that. But for Roy Williams, it does intersect with what actually kind of made his legacy so special, because college basketball, we know, is a sport that is ruled by coaches, right? It's kind of like the dazed and confused dynamic. It's like, we get older, the players, they all sort of stay the same age and they change over. We stick around. We are the people who matter. And when you look at the coaches who do matter in that top five and you say, okay, there's John Wooden, there's Adolph Rupp, there's Bobby Knight, there's Dean Smith, there's Coach K. Where does Roy Williams fit into that picture? Well, Roy Williams, to me, let's just take two of those names. Dean Smith, his mentor, the architect of Carolina basketball, and Coach K, his chief rival at Duke. Dean Smith, the way that he, to your point, Katie, the way that he won 3 NCAA titles at Carolina, more than Dean Smith, who just won 2, the way that he had a better wins per year rate than Coach K and had more success than Coach K in the last 20 years, he did it without NBA All-Stars. He was a guy who sort of wanted to build a program with kids who would stick around. And so if you invited all of Roy Williams's players and all of Coach K's players and all of John Calipari's players and all of the other coaching icons, their respective alumni bases in the NBA into some sort of tournament, Carolina would get blown out immediately. But the fact that Roy Williams did all of this with that kind of future pro talent, that's kind of what distinguishes his legacy to me.
Yeah, it is, I think, complicated to look at his retirement through the lens of changing attitudes towards player empowerment on the part of him. Because on one hand, we are hearing this is sort of a motivating factor, the sea change rather, is a motivating factor behind the decision. But on the other hand, what makes Roy's career stand out to me is not just the many, many accomplishments that Katie said you can go and Google, or the fact that he was able to step into a program, step into the shoes of Dean Smith, turn it around, bring it back in ways that people thought might not be possible. But when you hear his players talk about him from years past recently, they seem to genuinely love him. When you hear, I don't know, whether like it's a Kobe White, frankly, the way he reacted to Roy Williams coming to his game, and you see the language, you see the look on his face, you know, wow, this love is real. These feelings are real. The effect that this man had on all of these guys' lives is real. That is undoubtedly an important part of his legacy. And I think going forward, when we look at his career, ultimately that will be the best part.
And keep in mind, too, Roy Williams had 2 Hall of Fame careers. He had one at Kansas. He got elected to the Hall of Fame in 2007, right? Then he has a whole other one at Carolina. And there's arguably a third one. He has a third Hall of Fame career, I think, just as a dancer.
Ooh, yeah. That is where I would like to focus our discussion.
Yes!
That color palette is working for me.
Oh, man.
A legend.
So, yeah, I think... Oh, wow. The shimmying.
That's it. That's all it is. It's one move. Yeah.
Just...
One move.
The strongest shoulders in college basketball.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
We got a little dipping it.
Yeah, a little slide going on.
Okay.
No one looks like Easter more than Roy Williams. And
honestly, I was thinking the same thing. But I also think he's a great advocate for all you need is one solid move. Give it a little variety, but just know where you live and kind of stay there.
How should Bill Belichick feel about Robert Kraft's draft comments?
It's the owner's meeting, which means Robert Kraft is going to do a Q&A. He said, "You have to do it through the draft. I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years, and I really hope, and I believe, I've seen a different approach this year. What happened here last year was not something to our liking. We had to make the corrections. There's a lot in here, and I'm sure each of you found something more interesting in what he said. As for the question, which we do honor here on Highly Questionable, what should Bill Belichick make of these comments? I'm going to say not much. These two have worked together for a very long time, and us in the media used to always speculate about the relationship between Kraft and Brady and Belichick. And now that Brady's gone, all we got to speculate is between Belichick and Kraft. I think it's a complicated relationship. I think there are lots of layers to it. I think it works in certain ways, and it probably doesn't work in other ways, just like most of your relationships with the people that you work with."
Well, the question was, how should he feel? Which I found funny because it implies that Belichick has a range of feelings that go beyond vaguely annoyed and really annoyed. But he should feel like Robert Kraft's right. Patriots drafts, for which Bill Belichick, the GM, is responsible, have not been great. They have had far more misses than hits over the last few years. I mean, they've been successful at drafting offensive linemen from Joe Tooney to Isaiah Wynn to Michael Onwenu last year. Looks like a success. But when you look over the last 5 years, Football Outsiders actually measures this return on drafts based on career average value. Patriots are near the bottom. They're the sixth worst in the NFL. Like, at the top, you got teams like Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, the class of the league. At the bottom, New England's with Cincinnati and the Jets. And you got to think, Robert Kraft, that's not a neighborhood he wants to live in. And he's not afraid to say that out loud.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Bill Belichick should feel like daddy's home. Like, oh, we were talking about how Bill Belichick, you know, oh, he's the parent and Tom Brady's this other, like, spousal ex, and that's the metaphor. But no, you, in fact, are Bob Kraft's child. That is what Robert Kraft is kind of saying here. As much as you guys want to talk about how it's Bill and it's Tom, it's me. I'm the guy who's unhappy. I'm the guy who once loved Tom Brady like my child, actually, to make this metaphor into reality. And this other guy, who is so good at his job, but also so difficult at times for me, Robert Kraft, billionaire, to work with. Yeah, I'm going to make known in ways that nobody else in this building will, that he has not done the job that I expect from him. So Bill Belichick should feel like, yeah, this household that he works in, that he lives in, maybe isn't all that happy right now.
Does the WNBA need to change their rules to allow underclassmen like Paige Bueckers to enter the league?
This is a very complicated question. Paige Bueckers is obviously a star, plays at UConn. She's a freshman. She's been named Player of the Year. She's the first freshman to have done that. She's incredible. She's fun to watch. And now people are discussing the fact that, you know, if this were a male college basketball star, we'd be looking to see if they're about to enter the NBA draft. And for the WNBA, you have to be 22 years of age. Most women who enter the WNBA do 4 years of school and then go on. There are a couple exceptions, but they're not worth getting into for this argument. And so this is a very interesting question. And what I like is that Gina Auriemma, her coach, gave kind of a nuanced opinion on it, where he said, yes, I do believe she should be able to be making money and to be building her image. At the same time, I recognize that I benefit and my school and my job and my program benefits from her staying here with us. And I do think her playing at UConn can help her build her brand. And so it is definitely nuanced and it's complicated, but I think the thing we can all agree on is that she's an incredible player. She's very fun to watch. And it's very frustrating to know that this is a situation that's unequal in this way.
Yeah, I think Gino was right on both counts. First, that she should have the option to go to the WNBA. Every player should. It's not like there's going to be a surge of female college basketball players thinking it's the right choice incorrectly. But also that staying at UConn could hypothetically help her brand. Like, this is not the same conversation that we had about Zion, where people would argue that, oh, staying at Duke is growing his brand. Zion didn't need Duke. Duke needed Zion. Whereas for women's basketball players, because of the relative popularity of March Madness for a school like UConn, you could make a case for Paige Beckers and other players that actually staying there financially is helpful for her. She has over 700,000 Instagram followers, and that following could grow. And I think really what you need to argue is not whether she can grow her brand at UConn versus going to the WNBA, but that she should be able to monetize that brand now if she stays at UConn. And that is the change that is needed secondarily to the change of whether or not she should be able to go to the WNBA.
Yeah, that to me is so enormous, Mina, because the name, image, and likeness stuff, what is so overlooked and what's been argued to the opposite effect actually by the NCAA is that actually NIL stuff, what it'll do is create this big gap between the haves and the have-nots. It's going to be the big star basketball and football players leaving all of the female athletes behind, but that is not the case for someone like Paige Beckers. Paige Beckers, if she can monetize that name and image and likeness, could be making more money in college than she might as a rookie in the WNBA because of the attention given to her on this platform. But the other thing about this, and this conversation is also interesting because it was started by Draymond Green on Twitter, I think. That's where I sort of traced it back. He was sort of arguing that if Paige Beckers were to threaten to leave, there would be so much attention just because Draymond Green understands like the take industrial complex. And he's like, the controversy around should she go or should she stay, that alone is going to help build the sport and her brand. And so to me, if we may now think about our names and images and our likenesses, like being able to get mad about a story like that, that I think only accrues to the women's game in these cynical ways that sports talk television tends to.
You know what else I think would help grow the women's game, help grow the WNBA? Money? Just money and also talking about it. Yeah. Like, we don't also need a controversy to grow her image and grow the image of these players and grow the image of rookies when they're, you know, actually in the league. We can talk about them as basketball players. That will make people excited about Paige Beckers. The fact that we are giving her a spotlight that she deserves as a very exciting basketball player.
Up next on HQ.
Roy Williams.
Is he leaving? What does the text say?
Oh my God.
Mina. I'm getting the dot, dot, dot from Adam Schefter. What is happening? Okay. Wait, hold on. Something crazy is happening on the internet.
What?
About Roy Williams?
No, Russell Wilson.
Hmm? Oh. Mina, we're doing a show here.
Adam Schefter is texting me. What is he doing? What is he?
Wait, can you, what? All right, just gonna sit.
What did he text you?
Hold on. Oh my God. Oh my God. We are gonna need a new A block.
New A1? Sorry.
A1? Roy Williams.
Is he leaving? What does the text say?
Oh my God.
Mina. I'm getting the dot, dot, dot from Adam Schefter.
Oh my God.
Let us help you. Tell us what it says.
Oh my God. So it's amazing. On Twitter. Oh my God.
It is?
Oh, he's boy, leaving? At Mina Kimes is not going to be happy today. Dot, 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 dot.
What? Schefter tweeted that?
Oh, God.
Mina tweeted, Adam, please call me.
Wait, can you call him? Can you call him? Call Adam Schefter right now.
On speaker.
Call him right now.
Please, on speaker.
Call him right now on speaker. Mina, please.
Hey, it's okay.
Okay,
you're going to be okay.
I'm calling him on speaker. I'm calling him on speaker.
Okay.
Oh my God, I hope he picks up.
Have you heard?
Adam, I'm on Highly Questionable right now. I'm about to have a meltdown. Just.
Have you heard the news?
What news?
You have not heard about what's happening today.
What is happening, Adam?
The Seattle Seahawks, okay? The Seattle Seahawks are busy getting ready for the draft this month.
Literally, I'm calling HR on you. I'm calling HR on you. I'm calling HR on you, Adam Schefter. I just aged. I hate you so much. I love you so much.
And Katie, for putting me up to this last night. This was all their doing.
So uncaring. You think your colleagues like you.
Those are your colleagues looking out for you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, Adam.
Tell me something.
I need to go
thanks,
like
Adam.
Drink some water.
Thanks, Adam.
You got it.
Hey, you guys. Flawless execution.
God. Wow.
Flawless execution. Now I have one note. Mina is not good at sharing how she's feeling while she's feeling it. Which is now why I understand why I always get pranked. Because I just say it right out loud.
You know who's amazing at sharing what they're feeling when they're feeling it? Adam Schefter, who has texted me. I've set off a panic amongst the producers at ESPN. Oh, they're taping a mock draft show and flipping out.
Oh,
texts now pouring in.
Everyone
texting
me, the tweet.
What's going on?
I cannot believe he tweeted. I did not think he was going to tweet. Do you remember where I was in the sentence? What does that say? You haven't heard Blockbuster. I mean, to be fair.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, wow.
Also,
that's the text. Hold on. Pinning down the final details. Hold on.
Adam Schefter weaponizing 8.3 million Twitter followers and the entire attention of the NFL. The entire NFL for this specific prank. What? Adam Schefter, you are a legend.
Yeah, he's a real one.
A reckless legend.
How am I supposed to do the rest of the show?
Do you question if this is the world's greatest athlete?
Now, on most shows on this network, ACL is something you talk about tearing or you know, being related to injuries. But here, on Highly Questionable, you know the ACL is the American Cornhole League. Let's see what's going on.
Bernaset with the honors, and from just
so
outside
far.
Of Chicago,
great name.
Early in this game.
Berna, Bernaset.
Woo!
Wow.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, and he knocked in the
Whoa.
Other one.
Never had to play
against. So, wow.
Oh my goodness. 7, 8. Are they sponsored by the Baked Beans Company?
Johnsonville Sausage. It says sausage right there under it.
In all
oh,
sorts
bushes.
Of ways,
so
it feels like.
Beans and sausage.
That's right.
Is what
definitely
it's
powered beans. By beans. Oh my God.
Hey!
No. If his buddy knocks it in, it keeps it going.
I don't think that's his buddy.
That's
I think
not
it's
his
opponent.
Buddy. That's his opponent. Oh.
So his opponent kept that going.
No.
Oh, that is,
oh my God.
Is...
His opponent is.
Oh no.
On the way.
Oh. Some game theory here. What does the opponent do?
Well,
I mean,
he's already lost, right?
There it is.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah. Why is it called cornhole? Does anyone know?
Perhaps.
Mina, the bags used to be filled with dried corn kernels, not beans. So it was a corn bag that you would toss into a hole, aka cornhole. Do, 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 do.
Corn is my favorite food. Delicious.
Oh, Brazil.
Corn
love it in
on
Brazil.
The cob.
Like, oh.
Loose corn.
Corn,
like
corn muffins. If you cut them in half and you griddle them
corn
a little
bread.
Bit.
Yeah, some elote.
Yeah, with elote.
Give me a plastic cup with some elote.
And like
in it,
some cotija and chili powder.
Cheese. Yeah.
Okay. Tonight on ESPN, Mets and Nats.
Oh, so that's a big no, because it's canceled. It's been postponed till I believe at least Saturday due to COVID protocols. We wanted to end this show on a high note. And so that high note is, are you intrigued about a baseball game that isn't happening? Pablo Torre.
Yes. Okay. See, I am very intrigued. I mean, Francisco Lindor, still a member of the Mets, just got signed for a $1 billion deal, signed by Steve Cohen, the new billionaire owner of the Mets. So I think Mets fans can hang their hats on the fact that that guy in no way will betray them by making all of that money.
Yeah, I will say also it was very funny to see yesterday that this story, now that this story has come out, it was right after seeing yesterday the commissioner say that he looks forward to a season with full attendance.
That's right.
All right, yeah. Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued by opening day. And speaking of canceling, I'd like to cancel our producers for putting cornhole before the opening day for Major League Baseball in our show. That wasn't us. Do not yell at us on Twitter.
They're
going to
do it anyway.
The producers and yell at them.
Okay, I think that's enough stress for one show for all of us. If you want more of us, his name's Pablo Torre. She's Mina Kimes and I'm Katie Nolan. And you can Google it.
I know we fool around a lot around here, but I wanted to just be sincere. I really do miss you, Katie, and I miss you, Mina, and I don't miss you even a little bit, Pablo, not even a little bit. I'm actually happy to be far away from everything that involves Pablo Torre. Check out Levitard and Friends Podcast Network, people. There are other friends. I've had to get new friends, Pablo and Mina. New friends. Subscribe, rate, review.
New friends.
No, don't come on here with your ex talking about your new girlfriend. We don't need that.